Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and we'll pick up in the sixth verse where we left off. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordains before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, Father, that you would draw us close to you, Father, that you would use this hour as an hour to make us more like Jesus. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you consider yourself well-educated? I mean, did you really listen in school, at least a little bit? Did you try to soak it all up? Did you try to get all the things that you could get into your mind? Do you continue to try to educate yourself today? Education is an interesting thing. It seems that no matter how much education you get, you need more. No matter how smart you are, there's somebody out there that is smarter than you. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but it's just the way it is. A child is born to loving parents. Immediately, before the child does anything at all, they begin to forecast, this is the smartest child that has ever lived. I know I have four grandchildren. They are all the smartest children that have ever lived. They don't do very much at first. They lay on their backs. They cry. They produce little presents for mom and dad. Then comes the day. You probably have experienced the day as a parent. There comes that day, that exciting day, that day that just kind of blows your mind. They turn over. It's unthinkable. Did you turn him over? No, I didn't turn him over. Well, did you turn him over? No, I didn't turn him over. He did it himself. This is a brilliant child. Let's get him to do it again. And he just lays there. So maybe you put him on his side. You put him on his side. Nothing. Then you consider after the happens again and the same process goes again, this child is smarter than you ever thought. He's figured out when you're not looking and that he's just going to play a joke on you. And so in humor, he flips over on his, and turns over when you're not looking every time, and you just are amazed. Then you catch him. You actually see him turn over. This is call the grandparents, call the newspaper time. This is film it, put it on Facebook, send it to the news agencies. You know, this child is so smart, so talented, so amazing. As the child grows, every little thing the child does is an opportunity for celebration. Everything the child does is a picture moment. Everything the child does, the child begins to think that they are absolutely so smart that no one can match their intelligence. Then it happens. You know, kindergarten. They end up with other kids. They see what you see as a parent. Other kids know how to turn over. Some of them are reading. One can say the Pledge of Allegiance in Latin. And you begin to think, well, maybe my child is not as smart as I thought they were. and you rush them off to T-ball in a professional ball career. Well, the year-to-year process goes, they manage to excel and manage to go from one grade to the other. And finally, they begin to get the habit of study in school, and they've got it, and you move them to middle school. Middle school is a new awareness for them. They struggle through middle school, but finally get out of middle school. Then high school. You know what high school is for most boys that go to high school? The land of the giants. They've all hit their growth spurt. You hadn't quite gotten there. Your intelligence quite hasn't picked up either. But you learn through high school, and you get to be a senior. There is no smarter person on planet Earth than a high school senior. They know it all. They've got it all contained. They've got all the information they will ever need. They understand that there's college out there, but they don't really need it, but they'll do it because it's time that they can have some fun and everything will be great. They just have all the knowledge they could possibly ever need until that first day of college or first day on the job. Now, imagine you could learn it all. Imagine you could soak it all in. Imagine you could get all of man's knowledge. If you had all of man's knowledge, you would still not be scratching the surface of the wisdom of God. There are great minds that have not been able to mind the things of God. There are very smart people that are smart about a lot of things, but when it comes to knowing how a person can live forever, they know nothing at all. Paul is speaking to a divided church, and he doesn't exactly compliment them. He tells them that the world considers them to be foolish. And they're out there sharing their faith some, and he says, you know what you're sharing? The world thinks what you're sharing is foolish. Paul was probably the smartest person that any of them would ever know, possibly the smartest person to ever live. But in the world that he was living in, people considered him foolish. He had gotten a heavy dose of that. He had just been to Athens. He had been there with all the great intellects. And there among all the great intellects, he was laughed at. Because he told of Jesus not only dying for their sins, but rising from the dead. He related the wisdom of God. They saw it as foolishness. The Bible reveals that the reason of this is because what God shares with us is God's mystery. In verses 6 and 7, however, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the princes of this age that come to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. God lays before us a mystery. It is hidden knowledge. It's knowledge that you couldn't have unless God unveiled it to you. It is knowledge that you could never possess or never come up with had God not chosen to give it. To cut to the chase, God is smarter than you. And God is smarter than everyone that has ever lived in any time. He alone could work out a way for a holy God to have a relationship with a sinful man when God cannot approach sinfulness and man cannot approach holiness. It was a dilemma that man could never work through, yet God worked it through and God shared the mystery. That mystery leads to forgiveness and salvation. That mystery is how you can be forgiven even though you've messed up, and we've all messed up. The wisdom is centered in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, in truth, the gospel is very simple. God made the gospel very, very easy because he knew there would be people like me. He made it very, very simplistic. So simplistic that most people miss it altogether. God became man and dwelt among us. He lived a life of absolute perfection. He never sinned, not even once. And yet for that life of perfection, that life of caring for others, he was taken and brutally slaughtered on a cruel cross, not for anything that he had done. No, he went to the cross for us. He went to the cross to pay our sin debt, to pay the price that we need to pay, the sacrifice to cover and forgive our sins. His body was taken from the cross. He was buried in a cold, dark tomb. And 3 days later, to the glory of God, he arose alive forevermore. Now, that's the story of Jesus. That is the story of Easter. That's what's coming that we'll get to share with the world. It's so simple. Because he lives, anyone who comes to know Jesus as their personal Savior will have the power to become a child of God, will be forgiven of their sins, and will be blessed with life eternal. That means if you have Jesus, you have heaven. If you have heaven, you have eternal life. 10,000 years from now, you will still be going and you will still be praising God, the God who gave himself on Calvary's cross for you. What a blessing it is that God has given us this bit of his wisdom. The basics are so simple a child can understand and believe to salvation. The wisdom of God, while very simple on the surface, is so deep that we won't grasp the whole of it until we get to heaven. Paul is sharing biblical truths with the members of the church at Corinth. Those truths are shared with people that are said to be perfect. Now, this is the most ungodly church in the entire Bible. It's hard to see how they're perfect, but the word doesn't really mean perfect without flaw. That word actually just means that they are mature. These aren't new Christians. These are people that have been Christians for a while, and yet they're not living like it. These are individuals that should have matured in the faith, should have grown forward in God's word, and yet they're acting like children. If the church is ever going to grow forward, it is necessary for those that know Jesus to grow up. It is only when you begin to grow as a believer and apply God's truths that you are able to move forward in the Lord. And when you're able to move forward in the Lord, then God will teach you more. I've heard a lot of people say they want to go deep in the Word. Well, listen, you can't go deep until you go shallow. You can't go deep until you've broken through the crust. And if you don't apply the things God has already taught you, why in the world would God teach you anything else? And so God puts his word out and God puts his challenge out so that you will seize it. And then once you seize it, you can grow upon it. The wisdom of God is not for everybody. It's not for a lost world. The wisdom of God is not even for believers that refuse to grow up. The reason we build our services around the Bible is because the Bible is God's word, and the Bible is the only word that we need to live. It is not man's message, it is God's message. Now, Paul points out the wisdom of this age, the best thoughts coming from the world, the wisdom of princes and the thoughts of those that were popular leaders of the day, their highest thoughts will absolutely come to nothing. Even the best wisdom of this world is going to pass away. God's children must spend time on the wisdom which God has ordained before the beginning of the world. You want to get smart in the Lord? Then you've got to spend time in the Lord's Word. You've got to understand that you are not very much, but he is everything. As John the Baptist said, he has to increase, I need to decrease. God made the plan for our redemption, and he set it in motion before the very world began. The scripture of Jesus on the cross was not a last-minute pull of a fire alarm. God planned it out when you were planned out. Before the very foundation of the world, God in his foreknowledge knew that man would sin, knew that man would need a Savior, knew that there would need to be a way for sinful man to come to a holy God, and the only possible way for that to take place was if he would step forward and he would offer himself as the sacrifice. So that's exactly what he did. He brought a way for you to share in his glory. In John 17, 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. So God leads those of us who will follow him, not just through the elementary school of the faith, not through the high school of the faith, not even to the college of the faith, but through the glory of the faith. God wants to share his glory with you. The same glory that Jesus possessed of the Father, he gives to you. It is God's mystery, but it is God's blessing. But alongside God's mystery is man's miss. In verse 9, it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, even has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Man is able to use his eyes and to take in what he can observe. We can observe many things. Sometimes you just need to open your eyes. Have you ever looked for something and looked for something and looked for something and then found it right in front of you? Sometimes you have to open your eyes. Sometimes you have to pay closer attention. We can use our ears and we can learn by sound. But you know, this may be hard for you to understand. Sometimes I talk to people and I know they hear the sound, but they don't take any of the information. You probably have gotten this if you're married. And you talk and you talk and you tell them and you tell them, they don't get any of it. As a preacher, I can tell my family so many things. I can share with them from my heart. I can tell them wonderful truths. They hear it on the radio, and it's a new day, you know. Well, we can take in all the sounds. We can seek to reason things out in our heart. Yet in our sinful state, even the wisest, most observant, most alert among us is totally incapable of understanding spiritual things. I don't know that this has ever been more apparent than today's world. You know, we have people that are laughing at Christians because we say we talk to God. Listen, to the believer, the fact that they would even hint at that proves that they're the joke. They've just not gotten it. They don't know what we know. They need to know. I want them to know. But we can see today very clearly as they espouse how foolish we are. Well, one day in the judgment, they will understand that we were not the ones that were foolish. A person on their own, away from God, is incapable of understanding spiritual things. Don't let it upset you terribly when lost people don't understand why church is important. Or why when Christians who have left God's way and have put away God's word don't understand that they need to be in God's house. They're disconnected. They don't understand the need for truth. They don't understand the need for fellowship. Listen, if all we did was come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and spend time together in God's house looking to the Lord, it would be time well spent. We need one another, and we need to learn from one another, and we need to spend time learning God's word together. Man truly has amazing cognitive powers. Science has had marvelous discoveries. But you know, science has not discovered anything that God didn't put here to start with. God is not discovered by the use of a microscope or a telescope. We can see the wonders of God all around us, but such sight doesn't give us a personal relationship with God. I've been in California in some places where they absolutely worship trees. They have paths built around the trees so that you can you don't want to walk on anything because you might step on a root. Don't want to hurt the trees. And they admire the trees. Now I'm all for trees. Listen, I am more about the one that created the trees. And they miss it altogether. They see, they can see what God has placed, but they don't know the God that placed it. We can see the wonders of all around us, of God all around us. But you got to know Jesus to know the Creator. The mind of man continually misses the things of God. That's going to happen throughout your life. You still stick with the things of God. This is seen clearly on the cross of Jesus. Remember when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Well, when they sinned to the point of putting Jesus on the cross, they did not know. Oh, they knew they were killing him, but they didn't know who they were killing. They didn't know why he was there. If you have been blessed to hear the gospel of the Lord, and you have been responsive enough to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you have accepted his forgiveness, you've turned from sin and you've turned to him, you have done that because God in his Holy Spirit has convicted your heart and has put his truths in your mind that you might respond to them. Nobody comes to God unless God initiates it. And so if you're ever in God's house and God is speaking to you and God is drawing you to a decision, God's Spirit is trying to get you to make a move, don't you ever stay back. You make that move that God places upon your heart. Paul points out that the only one to truly know a man is the spirit of a man. Well, that's just true. Have you ever been surprised when there was a person you knew them, and then something was revealed and you found out you didn't know them at all? The spirit of a man is what really knows a man. And it follows that the Spirit of God is the one that truly knows God. And if we want to walk with God, we're going to have to be open to God's Spirit. We're going to have to allow God's Spirit to fill our hearts, fill our lives, and lead our path. The natural man, the lost man, cannot receive or understand the things of God. They cannot understand how a believer can love unconditionally, how a believer can forgive without cause, how a believer can reach out and seek to change one's life when mistreated. These things are spiritually discerned. My fellow believers, the Spirit of God will give the child of God exactly what you need when you need it. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but there have been times in my life when I've been talking to an individual and out of the clear blue, I would get a thought. Maybe something I'd been trying to think of, it just would come to my mind. And I would be able to share with that individual and they would say, "You know, that's exactly what I needed." Well, you know, I didn't know that, but God knows that. And many times God will put you with other people and will give you what they need to hear so that you can point them and direct them to putting their faith more strongly in the Lord. That's true for believers. It's true for non-believers. Why do you think God puts lost people around you? It's so that you can share the truths of God that they don't know, that they have never received. You may be stressing out over something today and God has already revealed the answers to your questions. But you may be stressing out over something today and you don't have the answers to the questions and God hasn't revealed anything to you yet. Keep on believing. Keep on following the Lord. Keep on taking step after step as God directs it. Listen, if you will take the steps God directs, He will get you through the things that you're facing. Don't worry about the end product. Don't worry about what's going to happen next year. You know, don't worry about what's going to happen in 10 years, 20 years. Let's walk with God today. If you walk with God today and you walk with God tomorrow and you walk with God the next day, in 20 years, if you keep doing that, you'll be exactly where God wants you to be. Don't miss God's plan for your life because you refuse to take the step He was leading you to take. And if you will walk with God, walk looking to God, pray and seek God, you will find Christ's mind. In verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" We have the mind of Christ. The believer that walks in fellowship with God is led by God's Spirit. Those that walk in God's Spirit do the things God's way, take the steps God wants us to take, accomplish God's purposes. Such a person is not going to be concerned with judgment. By the way, such a person is not going to be concerned with judging others. You're just going to be walking with God. You're going to try to lead others to walk with God. And if others will join you in walking with God, then your life has been worthwhile and you have made an eternal commitment to the Lord and an eternal mark in their lives. Paul was able to keep going, though many criticized him. Many laughed at him. He was just seeking to follow God, and he knew that he was accountable to God. When I came to Northside Baptist Church 36 and a half years ago, had a deacon's meeting before I came, and we sat in that deacon's meeting, and it we had a lot of deacons in those days. There were deacons everywhere, but one of the deacons, Jim Hunter, says, "Who are you going to be accountable to?" And I just looked at him and said, "God." I'm accountable to God. Hey, being accountable to God is a lot more strict than being accountable to you. We are all, as believers, accountable to God for the life He has given us. We need to walk in His path, in His way, accomplish His purposes, that we meet that accountability, that we follow through on what He desires us to do. Where do you start? You confess your sins. I don't know what sins are in your life. I don't want you to tell me. But you do need to go before God. You need to fess up. You need to be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. When you see a sin, it doesn't have to be a big sin. What's a big sin? Oh, somebody else's. Listen, a lie, a white lie, whatever that is, a little fib, a small theft, something you don't even consider to be very evil at all, and yet you know that it is sin. Jesus had to die for those things. Little sin? Talk about little sin to the man on the cross. There is no little sin. Jesus had to die for all of our sins. So if you are a believer and you are out of God's will, you are out of God's will the moment you sin any sin. God's Spirit stops leading you the moment you choose against Him and sin in any sin. The moment you realize that, you confess that sin to God. You ask Him to forgive you. You turn from that sin. You obey God's word. You walk with God's Spirit. And you will be carrying out the mind of the Lord Jesus as you walk with God's Spirit. God's Spirit will not lead you against God. By the way, if you are reading out of the Bible something that is contrary to what God teaches elsewhere in the Bible, then your interpretation is a misinterpretation. God's Word does not contradict itself. God's Word leads us in God's path, for God's purposes, for God's glory. So we confess our sins, we obey God's word, we walk with the Lord, and when we misstep, we get back in step. We walk in His ways, we accomplish His will, and we will find out we have been using the mind of Christ. And one day, because you've used the mind of Christ, you just may hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Believers, we need to wise up. We wise up by fessing up and walking in God's Spirit. If you are out of step, get in step. Today, Easter's coming. We have a message to tell, an opportunity to tell it. We need to get on a stick. We need to do what is necessary. We need to walk with God each day, and we need to allow Him to fill us with His Spirit and His joy and His blessings and His guidance and rejoice in what He does. And if you are here and you don't know Jesus, then the first step you need to make is a step to come down an aisle and say, "I want Jesus." Let Jesus save your soul. Let Jesus forgive all your sins and bring you into His family. Let Jesus do it today. If you will come, He will save. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for our time with You. We pray, Father, that You would use Your word now to penetrate our hearts, to draw us to decisions that we need to make. I pray for believers, Father, that we would walk in Your way, that we would be willing to confess all sin, that we would be willing to bow before You just to have Your Spirit guiding us step by step in the mind of Christ. Father, for those that are here that do not know You, Father, I pray that today would be the day that they would be willing to say yes to Jesus, that they'd be willing just to come forward and say, "I want Jesus." Father, for I know You want to save their souls and You want to do it today. Give them the courage to come. Father, give us the courage to walk with You in Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would You come?